You guys got any songs to sing? Looks like you want a long, long message. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 4 this morning. For the, you folks visiting, I'm just kidding, okay? Don't get too excited. I never go more than 2 hours on Sunday morning. I do want you, all jokes aside, I want you to keep your Bibles. We are going to several places. Want to preach upon this thought this morning. I don't know, I won't have you to raise your hand, but wonder how many of you have heart problems, health problems. Some of you were born with it. I know Tony there's had, he had several different surgeries and bypass surgeries and so forth. How old was you when you had the first one? Year and a half old. And I know some people are born with defective hearts. Myself, I have an enlarged one. Go to the doctor and he gives me all these instructions and tells me all these things. And if there's things that I can do to improve my health. Of course, all's depending upon God. But this morning, I want to preach upon that thought of taking care of your heart. And each of you, and I've heard some people say, well, my heart's as fit as a fiddle. It's fine. Don't have any problem with my heart. I don't care how healthy you think your heart is. Your heart will soon give out. Your days are limited. The Bible says life is like a vapor. It's here and it goes. And even the best of hearts give out eventually, okay? But the Bible speaks of hearts in different things. Not only a physical heart, which is in your body that pumps blood and all the things throughout your body. But it also speaks of the heart of man. This heart is very interesting. We know that a person is a three-fold person. Just as a trinity of God, man has a trinity. Body, soul, and spirit. We recognize that the body has within it lust. Lust of the flesh. The Bible speaks much of that. That we have lust of the flesh, and by the way, you all have them. Somebody said, well, I'll be glad when I get old where I won't have all these lusts. Let me let you in on a little secret. Somebody already turned over 60, you still have them. Now, I could have some people here that's over 70 and some people over 80. They stand up this morning and say, listen, yep, lust is still there. The flesh is still there. The flesh will be there until the day you die. So you have flesh and you have the lust thereof. Then you have the soul. We talked about that the other day. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. But a big part of your soul is your heart. Your heart is where your emotions, intellect, will, your moral attitude, your affections, all those things come from your heart. We're going to look at some things the Bible says about the heart here in a moment. But let me say this. Until a man is born again since the fall of Adam, your spirit is dead. The Bible describes it in Ephesians chapter 2 as dead in trespasses and sin. The only way to allow your spirit to be brought back to life is be born again of the Spirit. You're born again when you believe, now get this, when you believe in Jesus Christ and His finished work upon Calvary. Whosoever shall believe upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it's not believing here. It's believing in your heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So therefore you must believe in your heart. To believe in your heart, you must have an understanding of your heart. Now, I said this the other day, and I'm not going to spend any time with this. Once you are saved, you still have your sinful nature, but now you're given a divine nature of God. Your flesh and your spirit now battles every day over control of your soul. Your soul is made up of your mind, your heart, all the things, memory, all the things that makes up your affections and your will and all those things. Your mind, your flesh and your spirit lust against each other. Spirit lust against flesh. And they're contrary one to another. And they always will lust against each other. And they lust over battles of your soul. So therefore, your heart is a big part of your soul. Now listen to me just a moment. Once we lose our flesh and we're given a new body, our glorified body, then our spirit and soul will never know sin again, because we will not have the lust of the flesh pulling at our soul. The Bible speaks of your spirit in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, as a seed that cannot sin. There's a part of you with your spirit that communes with God. The Bible says your spirit is what you pray to God, you fellowship with God, you have a relationship with God. That's why you need to be born again, to have that worship with God, because we worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, I've said all that to say this. The heart is so important. Look, if you would, in Proverbs chapter 4, and stay with me just a few moments. I want to go several places in the Bible, and I want to talk to you about taking care of your heart. Look in Proverbs chapter 4, begin reading with me in verse number 20. The Bible says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of" where? "Thine heart. For they are life unto thee that find them, and health to all their flesh." You say, "I want to have good health." Well, let's listen to this, spiritual health. Let's talk about it just a moment. Look in verse number 23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So if you want to be able to maintain good health, you've got to be able to keep your heart. Why do we have to keep our heart? Keep your finger there a moment and go with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. A verse that many of you are familiar with, but I want to cover a couple things with it just a moment. Look, if you would, in Jeremiah chapter 17. It tells us something about our heart. And again, it's not talking about the organ that pumps blood throughout your body. But look, if you would, in verse number 9 of chapter 17 in Jeremiah. The heart is what?
Deceitful.
You know what that means? That means that it will fool you, and it will lead you astray if you allow your heart to do that. Look on, if you would. It says, "For the heart is deceitful above" what? You say, "Man, I tell you what, I don't like that guy. He's trying to see me. I don't like this. He's trying to see me." But listen, right here's your most deceitful thing inside of you. You know, sometimes we give too much credit to the devil. It's not the devil doing certain things as much as it's the flesh a lot of times doing things. It's the old lust of the flesh, our old rotten heart. It's deceitful among what? All things. Look on. And desperately what? Wicked. Who shall know it? Now, why is it so desperately wicked? Look, if you would, in the book of Matthew real quickly, in verse number chapter 15. Look what Jesus said about the heart. In Matthew chapter 15, notice what Jesus said in verse number 19. He says, "For out of the" what? "Out of the heart proceed" what? "Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemings. These are the things which" what? "Defile a man." Somebody said, "Well, so-and-so's got a good heart." Listen, it may appear to, but you need to understand something about your old heart. It'll deceive you. The Bible says that all kinds of things come out of your old heart. Look, if you would, in James chapter number 1. I know I'm going to turn you a lot today, but I'm going to test your Bible skills today. James chapter 1. Somebody said, "Why and how do we go about sinning?" Look, if you would, in verse number 13. I heard one man tell me one time, he said, "Well, God has tempted me. He'd went to a bar and got drunk." And he said, "Well, God tempted me to do that." I said, "Nope. You didn't know. You don't understand God." Look, if you would, in verse 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted' what? Of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he, what?
Any
man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his what?
Own
lust. And enticed. In other words, that old heart says, look at that. Wouldn't you like to have that? Would you not like to do that? And so you are tempted when you're drawn away by your lust of your own heart. God's not doing it. You're doing it. Look what he says in verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it brings forth what? And sin, when it's finished, brings forth what? Okay, so what he's telling us is this. What happens is this. When we see something and our lust wants something, we're tempted. Now, we have a decision to make. If we don't keep our heart under control, we will fall for that thing. And when we get a hold of that thing, and in other words, when our sin has conceived and made us do the thing, our lust has made us do the thing that we want to do, then it becomes a sin. Quick as we do that and follow through with the lust that we have. Now you can have a lust and you can stop it. Or you can have a lust and follow through and commit a sin. You follow what I'm saying? Now look, if you would, real quickly, to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Sometimes people say it's when you want to study a subject, always find where it's first mentioned in the Bible. Let's look in chapter 6, and we find the heart first mentioned. Here God looks down and he sees the world. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 5. And God saw that wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his what? Were only what? So first of all, I want you to understand that you have imaginations. And those imaginations, those thoughts, all those things, I've heard people say, well, I don't know where that thought came from. I do. Come from your heart. And so what you have to do is you have to learn how to deal with your heart. Look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. I told you we're going to jump. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. If we're going to be able to deal with certain things of our heart, then what we have to do is we have to understand how we deal with our imaginations of our heart. Look, if you would, in chapter 10, in verse number 3. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that means fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? What is a stronghold that holds us? Look on in the next verse. Casting down what? Imaginations. That same thing he talked about over in Genesis. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth himself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, what we have to do is, if we're going to handle the issues of our heart, we have to understand and we have to realize that there's going to be some things that comes out of here that doesn't correspond with here. And therefore, we're going to have to turn to God. When God says it's wrong, and even though our heart says let's do it, God wins out. That's how you got to learn and to keep your heart. Now, notice here that the imaginations, we have to pull down every stronghold, all our thinking, the way that we think, and when we get saved, then we have to renew it to a different way of thinking. That's why Paul said, by the mercy of God, brother, I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Not being conformed to this world, but by transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. In other words, you get your mind set. So first of all, you need to understand your heart is imaginative. It will think all kinds of things. There'll be all kinds of things that will come out of your heart. Okay? Second of all, you look, if you would, in Genesis chapter 17. In Genesis chapter 17, look if you would in verse number 17. The Bible says, "And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" Now, where did he say that at? In his heart. You ever talk to your heart? Did you know you talk to your heart and your heart talks to you? Not only is your heart imaginative, it also speaks, and you speak from the heart. You say things from the heart. Amen? And so therefore, what you need to understand is, he said in his heart. Look, if you would, back in Proverbs 23, where we chapter 23, in the book of Proverbs. Notice what the Bible says here about our heart. Not only is it expressive in which it expresses things to us, not only is it imaginative where it allows us to think certain things, but it also exposes who and what we are. Look, if you would, in verse number 7. For as he thinketh in his what? So is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. In other words, the Bible says, even so as he thinketh in his heart. Now, the Bible tells us back there to keep. In other words, that word keep in our text that we look, it means to guard, to put protection around. We've got to be very careful with our heart. And it said do it with all diligence. That means to put extreme effort into taking care of your heart. Let me ask you this. I know my grandfather, I'll speak for him. My grandfather smoked all of his life. And he kept trying to quit here and there. But he go right back to smoking. Then all of a sudden the doctor told him he was going to die if he didn't quit smoking. Well, he quit, but it's just a little too late. Emphysema, obstructive lung disease, pulmonary disease, already set up. The last few months of his life, he carried around an oxygen tank everywhere he went until he got where he couldn't go with it. And he quit. But it's too late. Sometimes we go to the doctor and he begins to tell us what we need to do to our hearts to make our hearts healthier. When I'm at the doctor's office, I'm sitting there thinking how I'm going to diet, how I'm going to get on exercise, how I'm going to start this. Then I go home, sit down at the kitchen table, and I forget all about it. And it shows. This morning, I want us to look just a few moments. I want you to think about some things that you can do to take care of your heart. There, when we read, he talked about attending to the Word of God in Proverbs, where we start out. Let me show you a couple things real quickly. First of all, in your heart, you need to do some self-examination. There are some things that I know that nobody else will know about my physical heart. When I go to the doctor, I tell him I'm having this, I'm having palpitations, I'm having this, I'm having that. These things are happening in myself. And so those are things that sometimes I have them going on, sometimes I have them going on here, and some people don't have a clue. So first thing you got to do, if you would, turn with me real quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. This is very important. Now listen to me very carefully. Look, if you would, in verse 5. The Bible says what in 2 Corinthians 13, 5? What's the first two words? Listen to me. Examine yourself what? Rather you be what? So first I want you to, if you're going to have a heart checkup, you've got to learn to do some self-examination about your own heart. Let me ask you this morning. Are you saved? Are you a child of God? Have you believed in your heart that Christ was a Son of God that came and died upon the cross of Calvary for you? Have you believed to the level where in your heart you have believed upon Him and therefore you have trusted in Him from your heart and God saved you. By the way, that's how we get saved. I know repentance plays a role. I know faith has a role. But for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works. That's the image of God. We have faith in the Son of God. When God looks upon our faith, when we call upon Him and we are saved, faith is what brings about our salvation. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We don't trust our own heart to get saved. Our heart trusts what the Word of God says. I've never seen Jesus, but I trust the Word of God, what it says. I've never seen heaven, but I trust the Word of God. I wasn't there at Calvary, but I trust what God said. I wasn't there when Jesus was born and came from heaven as a Son of God, but I believe what the Bible says. And so therefore, faith in the Word of God has brought salvation to me because I have believed in my heart Jesus Christ. Now listen to me a minute. And by the way, I believe if a man really believes in his heart, I don't believe a man ever quits believing. I believe when you believe in your heart, it gets down to the root of it. And of course, then when you believe, His Spirit comes in with us. We are sealed until the day of redemption. His Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the child of God. And you might get away from God, but I don't believe you ever quit believing. Because I remember the night I remember the night when I came forward and I put my faith and trust in Christ and He saved my soul. Now, look on. So first of all, let me have you this. If you're going to have a healthy heart, you've got to examine, make sure that your heart's in the faith. If it's not, my friend, you're missing the boat. You need to be saved. Amen. Now, second thing that I want you to do, and by the way, even when we are saved, look if you would in 1 Corinthians while we're there in verse number 11. Here he's talking to the Corinthian church. Notice what he says in verse chapter number 11, in verse number 28. He says, but let a man what? Now, even if you're saved, you need to be examining yourself. Now, I've got a blood pressure cuff. I check my blood pressure to see how it's running. I check my pulse and different things since I've had heart problems. I've tried to keep a track of that and know what's going on. Sometimes when I have a real bad headache, first thing I do is I go over there and I check my blood pressure, see if my headache is causing my blood pressure has caused my headaches. So therefore, what you have to do is, back in 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. In other words, we that are saved, we need to examine ourselves as well. And there's things that we need to keep track of, because there's things that get out of hand. Now, first of all, let me say this. We also need to let God examine us. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 139, you referred to this morning, Brother Junior, he says that he is tried of God, examined of God. Why is it important to let God examine us? Look if you would in Psalms chapter 44, real quickly. Turn real quickly with me. Psalms 44. The Bible says in Psalms 44, verse 21, so shall not God search this out? For he knoweth what? The secrets of what? There's not nothing in your life that God does not know about. He knows about it all. Therefore, sometimes you say, well, preacher, I kind of examine myself. I'm okay. Now let God examine you. When's the last time that you got before God and just bowed down and said, God, try me, search me. Show me what's going on in my life. Show me what I need. The second thing is, treat your Bible. But let me ask you this. How many of you got cell phones? Let's see your hand. Cell phones. Treat your Bible like your cell phone. Try spending as much time in it as you do on your phone. Why don't you check it every day, see if it's got a message for you? Ever think about that? Why don't you carry around a little bit more? Why don't you use it? spend time with it. You know, these kids drive me crazy. Sometimes I go in places and sit down trying to have a conversation, everybody's doing this. I just want to smack them on the side of the head. I said, don't you ever talk anymore? Wait, I'll send you a text, let you know. It's crazy. I talk to parents that can't even talk to their children anymore. They can send them a few messages, texts, but they don't know how to talk to them. By the way, we need to also use it. I like carry a cell phone. I like for my wife and children too, in case of emergency. When you have an emergency, buddy, this is the first thing you need to turn to. It'll help your heart. Also, I thought about this. Look, if you would, in Job. Job chapter 23. I go into the doctor's office. And my nurse is... Her name's Eunice. Same name my mom is. Her name's Eunice. And first thing Eunice says is this. Step on the scales. I said, why do you start our day off bad right off the bat? You always start our day off the very worst you can. Look, if you would, in Job 23. Verse number 12. He says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my what? Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to take care of your heart, you got to get on a diet. Now, I'm not talking about a seafood diet where you see it and eat it. That's the sort of kind of diet I like, but I try to stay off of it. Been trying to lose a little weight here and there, and then every now and then I just break down. And when I break down, I have a major breakdown, amen? But the point is, now listen to me. You can't take care of that old wicked heart if you don't feed it something from the Word of God. You got to feed it some food. And listen, there's a time when you drink milk. I know Mom used to tell me she had me, and then right behind me a year later come Diane. And I used to take Diane's, after I was broke from the bottle, I'd catch Diane sucking her bottle, and I'd take her bottle. And, you know, there's a time to drink milk from the bottle, and there's time to grow up and start eating meat. And Paul gone to Corinthian church and several other places where they were drinking milk when they should be eating meat. And the reason why you drink milk all the time is because you don't experience eating the good stuff that's good for you. Now listen to me very carefully. Each of you, if you're going to grow and take care of your heart, you've got to spend some time in the Bible yourself.
Amen.
It's not enough that you just come and listen to preaching every now and then. But also, we also have to have exercise. The Bible teaches us that we are to have exercise. Look, if you would, in Psalms chapter number 86, real quickly. Psalms 86. I go to a lot of places here, but I'm just going to go one. I'm going to go one more place. I want to show you something. Bring close. Psalms 86. Look, if you would, in verse number 12. It says, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with what? All my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. Listen, please listen to me. If you can't come to a place and worship, and every now and then just lift your hands up and praise the Lord from your heart, and give your heart an exercise in worshiping God, It's like sitting on a couch all the time. You're not doing your heart no good if you don't get any exercise. You've got to have some exercise. And my friend, if you want that old wicked, desperately wicked heart and a deceitful heart of yours, if you want to be able to keep it under control, You've got to worship the Lord with your heart. Exercise it some. Get it away from that old fleshly stuff and exercise it. Funny thing about it is, and I know you've heard it said 1,000 times, but it's worth repeating. We can go to ball games and we can go to gyms and we can holler and hoop and jump out of our skin. And then we come to church and we sit there like a knot on a log and can't even make a sound. Can't even make a grunt. Amen. Never get moved. We need some exercise. Amen. Exercise our heart. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. When you hear truth being preached, it ought to stir your spirit up. Amen. Ought to make you want to worship God. Amen. Amen. Last but not least, look if you would in Hebrews chapter 12. I didn't refer to this, but I'll end up on my favorite subject. Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with such great cloud of witnesses, and by the way, that cloud of witnesses in chapter 11, that's all the people who's just like you and me, have the same temptation to other things, but because of faith, they overcome certain things in their life. Notice what he says about them. He said, let us lay aside what? Every weight. Now listen, if you're going to take care of your heart, you got to lose some weight. I didn't hit that. That's my doctor's favorite subject with me. Lose some weight. Lose weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In other words, what we need to understand is this. We lose weight by things that drags us down. If you got something in your life dragging you down, keeping you from running the race with the Lord, keeping you from serving God, you may say, preacher, I'd love to come to church, but I can't come to church. Well, let me ask you this. What weight is keeping you from coming to church? Then you need to lose that weight. You say, well, preacher, I'd love to do this, but I can't. We can do all things. You need to lose some weight. And that weight is whatever weights, the sin that so easily besets us, the things that keeps us down, the things that destroys us in our life. And by the way, we all have them. If I come around the church today, I'd start here with Brother Junior, and I could have Brother Junior. I said, Brother Junior, stand and tell us a sin that so easily besets you. And if he'd be honest, he'd be able to pop up real quickly and tell us what his problem. One of the greatest sins that he battles in his. And I go here, Darlene, I go all the way around the room, and every one of us has sin that easily besets us, and that's weights that draws us down. And so, friends, listen to me. God wants us to keep our heart protected with all diligence, because out of our heart comes the issues of life. Listen, I'm capable of anything because of my heart, and so are you. And so therefore we need to keep our heart. Just a matter of losing it for any certain period of time. Remember David, a man after God's own heart? He walked out on the balcony. And one morning, not being where he needed to be with his army, he looked out and he lost his heart for just a moment. And look what that brought. And time again, the issues of life we have to battle. Let me ask you this morning. Where's your heart? Have you ever with your heart believed upon Christ? Are you saved? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Are you saved? If not, maybe God is drawing you to come today. You need to come and be saved. Maybe you're here and you are saved, and God is speaking in your heart about other things. And you know the amazing thing is, sometimes somebody says, boy, Lord spoke to me. And I've heard people laugh and scoff, say, nobody can hear God. You can in your heart. You see, that's where he communes to you. Man, he's called me by name in my heart. He spoke to me. The night I got saved, I was sitting back in the back pew back there, and the Lord said, come. He spoke to me. Nobody else heard him, but boy, I heard him. And I knew exactly who he was talking to. And you know what? I decided to come. And he saved my soul. And you know something? He still speaks to me. Let me ask you this. Maybe this morning God's speaking your heart. and you need to come. Let's stand and give a song of invitation. Brother Porter, however God may be leading, would you come?